Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to the Cosmo Happy Hour. It's everything you would talk about with your best friends, from sex to celebrity to entertainment.
From the editors of Cosmopolitan.com, this is the Cosmo Happy Hour with Alisa Benson.
If you work 40 hours a week, that means you spend roughly 2,000 hours a year at the office, which is great if you love your coworkers and not so great if you can't stand them. It is inevitable that you won't get along with everyone in life, and you probably don't love every single coworker at your job. Of course, I know it's common to have an occasional disagreement with someone in a meeting or feel a little irritated when it feels like your boss is being especially difficult lately. But what about that one person who really gets under your skin? You know the one. She's toxic around the office, always seems to one-up your great ideas or bring down morale with a negative attitudes towards everything in the Slack chat. So how do we handle ourselves in moments of conflict with those people at work who we spend 8 hours or more a day with? And on the other end of the spectrum, as a supervisor, how do we handle our employees who just can't get along? I'm Alisa Benson. This is Cosmopolitan.com's Happy Hour podcast. And today we are talking about work drama and how to deal with it. Joining me on the panel today is Cosmopolitan's assistant brand coordinator, Deandra Barnwell. Hi, Deandra.
Hello, Alisa. Thank you so much for having me.
You were the perfect person to co-host this episode because there is basically, your work life is so dramatic. A television show is literally created
very
around
dramatic.
It.
I know a little bit about workplace drama.
A little bit about workplace drama. So for people who aren't already super fans of yours from So Cosmo, which of course was E's reality show that aired earlier this year, give us the sort of like one sentence like briefing on it. What do people need to know?
So Cosmo, fabulous, glamorous, dramatic. That was three. I guess it wasn't a complete sentence.
Yeah,
but
no, that was perfect.
That really was it.
So you were one of the stars of the show.
Yes.
Cameras followed you around for, what was it, 2 months in
three
total?
Three months.
Yep. So basically, not only were you dealing with workplace drama, as we all do, but it was actually being like recorded
and
filmed.
So, I mean, in any working environment, you're going to run into some conflict with people. This one, I think, was a little bit more escalated just given the, you know, aspect that we had cameras following us, and that heightens everything. And, you know, everyone's a little bit more tense because you're nervous and you want to, you know, be portrayed in a certain way. And when at the end of the day, like when you're tired and exhausted and like someone's confronting you, you just go for it, I guess.
And there was one of the early arcs in the show was basically between you and our dear friend Steven, mm-hmm. who's the bookings editor, and kind of some beef between you guys mm-hmm. in the office. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I mean, I'm super open about it, just as Steven is. And, you know, like, at the end of the day, we're all a big family, quote unquote. And, you know, like families, people are going to fight, get under each other's skin. And it's nothing. It's not like we have some, you know, vendetta against each other. That's not the case. But sometimes you don't see eye to eye. And a lesson that I've learned is you're not going to be everyone's cup of tea. And that's been a hard lesson for me to learn because I feel like I want to radiate sunshine all the time and I want everyone to like me. And that's just not realistic. So,
yeah. And I mean, I think that's like, you know, I think that can be one of the biggest things that I have learned mm-hmm. over my many, many, many years of being a professional adult human mm-hmm. is sort of separating the personal from the professional.
For sure.
I actually had a boss earlier on in my career, and this was like an amazing piece of advice that she gave me. I remember I'd been like working on this huge project. I was actually at 17 magazine at the time, and I was lining up all of these giveaways for the freebie page. As I'm like saying this out loud, I'm realizing it sounds like so dumb AF.
Not at all.
But I'd worked really hard to get all of these companies to donate tech products that we were giving away in the magazine, and I went into the editor-in-chief, Anne Choquette, at the time, who mm-hmm. was my boss for years and years and years, and who I owe so much to. But I remember I walked into her office and I was like, here's the list of giveaways I've coordinated, so many emails, so many phone calls about getting all this free product for the magazine. And she kind of looks at me and she was like, I didn't approve the giveaway concept of being tech
heart
products
dropped.
My heart dropped
into your stomach.
Yeah. And I just like
I literally had spent PTSD for you. Like, I get it.
Like days of work trying to like Hail Mary to get these tech products donated. And like, I think she saw in the moment she saw my face like totally fall. And she just looked at me and she was like, it's not personal. It's just business.
It's just business. I know. And you're like, but it's personal.
Yeah.
It
but I've
personal.
Thought about it's, that so yeah, many times. Like, yeah. it's actually not a personal affront if the editor is like, I don't want to give away tech products in the magazine. I want to give away beauty products.
Exactly. It's not an attack on your character.
Yes, that doesn't mean that I am like an empty shell of a human being, yeah, which is exactly. like how I felt in that moment.
But it's hard to separate that. Yeah. It really is, especially because I feel like most of us are, if anyone's like me, I'm a type A person. I'm very invested in my job.
Yes.
So when someone has a negative opinion about that, you take it personally.
Yeah.
It's not the right thing to do. You should separate it. But speaking from experience and as a very emotional person, I take it personally.
And even like emotions aside, I mean, like especially being, you know, one of the stars of So Cosmo, like you are Cosmo, like you represent Cosmo, you know,
it's
day
very
and night.
To me.
It's very important to you. Yeah. It's a part of your identity.
Exactly.
You know, I think for a lot of us, for women especially, like our jobs do become huge pieces of our identity.
Absolutely.
And yeah, so it hurts when somebody criticizes and that leads to so much drama.
It does.
Another huge F up I once made that this was like probably my most dramatic of all work drama moments. Very early on in my career, also at 17, I did the thing where I sent an email about my boss to my boss.
Oh, I mean, I've done that in a text message, but not about my boss.
Oh my God. Oh my God. But like about a boy.
About a boy or a friend.
Right. Okay, yeah. Which like actually the friend drama is probably worse. And like in my defense, I'm like not a shit talker around the office. So like the email that I sent wasn't even necessarily like I wasn't bashing my boss. It was something along the lines of I meant to forward it to my coworker Lauren, and I said to Lauren something along the lines of like our boss, who I'll leave unnamed, but like I saw that you weren't on this email. Like, I know our boss is bad about including you, but like this is what you missed.
No.
And so that was really all I said. It wasn't like that shit talky, but it was one major learning that
critique.
I had. Yeah, it was a critique.
Yeah.
And I was like, our boss is bad about keeping you in the loop. Which, like, I've realized anytime someone is saying anything about you that wasn't intended to be heard, it, like, really strikes a nerve with people.
Of course it does.
It doesn't actually matter that, to me, that wasn't that much of an insult. And
yeah,
I feel like also played into these fears that she was probably having about, like, now that sounded condescending and that's not how I meant it. But like, even though it wasn't that big of a deal to say she was leaving someone off an email, like now as a boss, I know that feeling of feeling like you're never keeping your shit together.
Right.
Like
exactly.
Letting
exactly.
things fall through the cracks.
It's a fine line.
So yeah.
Between like a critique and like an insult, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's all about how other people take it.
Yeah.
Their perception of things. So it's hard.
Yeah. I can't believe I just like, we're like 2 minutes into this episode and I'm just like, and like, let me tell you all the terrible things I've done in the office.
I feel like it's a therapy session.
Yeah,
it's so weird.
A therapy
when
session.
People, I have an effect on people. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Like, just tell me
they tell you all
secrets.
Their secrets. That's why you're a good person to have on a reality TV show.
And they're like, let me report them to the producers.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I would never do that.
Yeah, yeah. You would never. Are you super careful about everything you put in email and in Slack and everything?
I'm so careful.
Yeah.
So careful. Just because one of the greatest lessons my mom ever taught me is don't put anything in writing that you wouldn't want to get out
or that you want forwarded.
Yeah. So I'm super careful. I, you know, go over every email that I send. I'm meticulous about making sure who is in, you know, who I'm, you know, copying on it. So very, very important, especially in a work environment. They can track anything that we do. And you just want to be super careful and professional at all times.
Yeah. And like Anna, you know, you had the experience of sort of cameras rolling and how easy it is to almost like forget that they're in the room and sort of blab your secrets on
easily. Especially even with the cameras there, you become such good friends with the production crew.
So it's like
it's no big deal. And like in a certain point, I mean, they keep their distance, you know, they're professional about it, but like they like, you know, we build a rapport. So it's like you're comfortable. It's just like another friend in the room. So you're going to say whatever you want
to
say.
Exactly. You get you have to remind yourself.
Exactly.
Like, this
you have to remind yourself.
Filmed.
Yeah. So it wasn't even about the cameras. Yeah. It was more about the relationships that we built with them that made us feel
comfortable.
So comfortable.
Yeah.
So then you just go off on a tangent. You completely forget. Like, wait a minute. Like, I have to edit myself.
Yeah. And I feel like that's the same way with like email and Slack.
It's
like we all know.
Of
like,
course.
I would never say anything. But then like all of a sudden you're like in bed, you know, you're deep in convo with your coworker or you're like pissed about an email your boss sent. hands and like
there is like a phone, yeah. a computer or a camera involved, it's so important to edit yourself yeah. and to be super, super careful because yeah. you just never know.
Yeah, to be on point. One thing I will say, and tell me your professional opinion on this. I feel like one thing that sort of surprises people, and you know, I've been working at Cosmo in 17 for my entire career, which has been 11 years. I'm old AF.
Oh my
but
gosh.
I feel like sometimes early on, especially because when I kind of like was coming up in the industry, it was like when Devil Wears Prada was just out in yeah. theaters and like yeah. that sort of idea of the like bitchy glamour of the fashion and magazine media industry, I feel like I was constantly saying to people that it's not actually like that. Like I, and again, my entire experience has really been working in office places that were like primarily women.
Yep.
And sometimes people would have the impression that that would be very like catty. And I was always right. like fighting that. I was right. like, it's actually not like that at
right,
all.
Right. Right. Like I get that question all the time. That's yeah. literally the first question anybody asks me when yeah. I tell them I work at Cosmo. Is it like the Devil Wears Prada?
Yeah.
And I have to say, no. I mean, that was a movie that yeah. was like a very extreme like interpretation of what the right. fashion industry magazine industry is.
Right.
So I mean certain aspects, yeah, sometimes it's just as glamorous or sometimes it's just as intense, but for yeah. the most part I feel like with my experience at Cosmo we work in an environment that is all about empowering women.
Yeah.
And that's the vibe that I get in the office. You know, we want to build each other up. We all are working the same hours. We're under all the same deadlines.
Right.
Like you said earlier, we see each other more than we see our families. So it's super important. I mean, of course there's going to be some tension.
Right.
Of course.
Right.
Not going to get along with
any office place.
Any office yeah. place. But I feel like in my experience, it's much more pleasant.
Yeah. I'm actually that. Like, I can't imagine how dramatic it would be to like work with men.
I can't imagine.
Men are such drama queens.
They're worse than us. Yeah. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh, that is another podcast, honey. Let yeah, me tell you.
Exactly. We'll have you back on for that one. But I think we should go ahead, Dee, and call up some of our friends let's and get some more friends. Like dramatic work stories.
I love it. All right. Let's do it.
Our first guest today has a coworker who is pretty difficult to get along with. Hopefully we can help her out. Welcome, Kate. How are you?
Hi, Kate.
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
Good. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from L.A.
L.A. in the house. LA. Yes, I was a former L.A. girl.
Once upon a time.
Once upon a time.
Wait, so Kate, tell us about the dramatic situation you're dealing with at work.
Well, okay, so I have a coworker who's technically my direct supervisor.
Ooh,
so,
oh, my drama.
Yeah, she's technically my direct supervisor, though we have, like, a mutual boss that we both kind of answer to. And there's kind of two issues. I mean, first of all, she bullies my boss, which
what?
Awkward. Is very, so awkward.
How does
and
that
like,
even happen?
Yeah. What do you mean she bullies her? Like, she calls her names or she, like, is just
kind
of.
She kind of undermines everything she says.
Ooh. Oh, wow. Ooh.
Like, and talks down to her and, like, kind of minimizes, you know, her feelings in a lot of situations.
Yeah.
And
that's really awkward to sort of observe that.
Very.
Yeah. And it's strange because I'm like, in those situations, it's not me that's being bullied, but it's still, I'm like, I need to do something about this. Of course. Know what I mean?
Yeah. Was there any, do you have any like specific juicy stories, like anything that comes to mind of like a real specific incident?
Yeah. I mean, specifically, like so Becca, who is the bully, she specifically like told me that she gaslit my boss for a year and she even used those words, gaslit.
No.
Yeah. She told me, which like, why would you tell me that? First
right.
That's weird. That's probably a very awkward situation.
Yeah,
she basically said, like, you know, every day for like a year, she would move this plant that's in the office. And our boss is pretty, you know, she's pretty observant. She'll come in and she'll be like, oh, like, did the plant move? It looks like it's far away or something. And she'd be like, no, you're crazy. Like, it didn't move at all.
This is actually insane, and particularly insane because it, I mean, it's like so pointless.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't really, it doesn't nothing. Help her get ahead no. to like make her boss feel
and
insane.
And I feel like it's almost more awkward for you as a bystander because it's like, what do you do in that situation?
Yeah. What do you do? Like, Kate, what did you do?
I mean, this was when I was pretty new at the company, okay. So I kind of was like, you know,
even
this whole thing go. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I think I kind of, you know, pretended a laugh with her, you know what I mean? Because I'm like,
you had no other choice.
She's my direct supervisor.
Right.
Like, I'm trying to make nice with her.
Right.
And
clearly you didn't want to get on her bad side.
Right.
Exactly. And she volunteered this information to me, which was so confusing.
That is so crazy. Okay, so she's a psychopath.
Yeah, that's great. A crazy person. That's not just like a mean coworker. That's a deranged individual.
Yeah. So what are you doing about it?
Boss.
Yeah. What are you going to do about it?
Well, I mean, it's been a little while now, and like I have done stuff. You know, I have kind of stood up for my boss before, and I've stood up for myself in ways, in like really slight ways. And, you know, one time she was like, oh, like Kate is such a mean girl. Like, you think what? She's so sweet and nice in the beginning, and then she'll turn sassy on you.
She told,
and who she said that about you?
About you? To who?
She said that about me when I've like since stood up for my boss and kind of been like, you know, you should really. So specifically, there was a situation where Becca was kind of telling my boss, like, you're flipping out. You need to relax. Like, you know, you're taking this too seriously, when it was a pretty serious situation where she had to confirm a shoot for the next day. And it was a pretty high stress situation. And she kind of minimized my boss's like emotions.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, you know, you should probably, you know, I was like, I kind of used her words against her. She had said this before. She had said, like, these are my feelings. You need to respect my feelings. And she had said that to me.
Right. Oh, so they're right, her feelings. Her. You need to respect them.
Right.
Exactly. So I used her own words against her. And she got so visibly upset she had to leave and take her lunch.
Oh, my God. She can dish it out, but she can't take it. Yeah.
Typical.
And so then I feel like, do you remember that infamous Katy Perry subtweet about Taylor Swift where she was like, watch out for Regina George and in sheep's clothing? I feel like that's basically what she was saying about you, that you're a secret mean girl.
Ew.
That's exactly what she was saying. You're so right.
Yeah.
So oh, my God. How did your boss handle it then?
This is the thing. I'm like, she's brainwashed. Like, she kind
she's
of
like the plants
her.
Moving. I'm crazy.
Yeah, I know, for real. She's like, well, I guess I'm just crazy. She kind of adores her, and that's the biggest issue with the whole problem, is that this whole company kind of adores this girl, and there really is nowhere for me to go.
Kate, I think you need to leave. I think you need to lean into the aspects of your job that you love, and I think you need to look for another position. It sounds like it's not going to get better, and it feels like this is going to slowly eat away at you.
And it also sounds like a very warped environment. I mean, you're telling us like all these things that are going on. It doesn't seem like your boss is really aware.
Right. It's not going to get better.
It's not going to get better.
Yeah.
And God forbid you get put into a situation, like you get directly dragged into the situation. I mean, that would just be so toxic.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. I mean, you're so right. I mean, I have been like the victim of it at some point.
Okay.
And you know, like I've said, I've stood up for myself. I've stood up for my boss, but it, you know, it hasn't gone anywhere, like you said. So, you know, it's probably will just like eat away at me slowly.
Yeah, totally. I feel like it already is.
Yeah.
A little bit.
And like, I do think, look, in every work environment, there are like crazy bosses or crazy coworkers. Yep. Like that is normal. And you obviously can't leave a job every time you have a frustration with someone on your staff. But that this is next level, and the fact that it's been going on for so long, and that it doesn't really seem like there's any circumstance that sort of like things could be better. You know, it's not like the crazy coworker, but people are kind of onto it. Like this is sort of like, All right, Kate, thank you so much for joining us. Call us back when you have a fab new job and keep us updated.
And we wish you nothing but the best.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It.
All right. Bye girl.
Bye.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Our next guest started out working in her industry for a few bosses she really admired and even considered mentors. Unfortunately, her relationship with these mentors quickly went south, and on the line to share with us her story is Kylie. Hi, Kylie.
Hey, girl.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Oh, another West Coast baby.
I love it.
Yes. Deandra was once upon a time.
I was.
So tell us, it sounds like things started out great for you in your career, and then, as I said in the dramatic intro, quickly went south. Can you walk us through what happened?
Yeah, I mean, I was given a really awesome opportunity to dive right into my industry and really was embraced when I first got there and felt like, oh my gosh, this is going to be a place I can really grow. And they're allowing me to, you know, to do big like pitches and they're including me in things. And then it slowly became less and less. And I was just like, what's going on? Like, why are things changing? I haven't started working any less hard.
Right.
And so it was just like a little confusing for me, you know, having just started out and wondering, is this what's supposed to happen?
No, that's not what's supposed to happen, actually.
No, yeah.
No.
So what was the sort of like turning point?
Well, you know, I had this one woman who I did consider a mentor, and she really, I felt like early on, took me under her wing and, you know, would always be like, you're doing so great and like all this stuff. And then I started feeling like she was excluding me from meetings and not really giving me much feedback. And I'm not somebody who really likes controversy, but at the same time, if I feel like I'm doing something wrong, it's like,
you want to know,
just tell me, because then I can fix it. But if you don't tell me, I don't know. So I finally was just kind of got up the courage and was just like, hey, like, how do you think I'm doing? You know, it was simple as that.
I think it just opened
the door for her to just really come at me in, like, she just kind of unloaded on me to the point where I was close to tears.
Oh, no.
Was this, like, in an office or a conference room? What was the setting?
It was in an office. It was in, it was actually in her office because I didn't share it. I was in the office next to her. And, you know, we were on, like, a team. And she wasn't the top tier of the team. She was kind of in the middle, the one directly above me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so
had you called a meeting? Like, were you being all, like, professional about this? Like, I want to check in? Or did you just swing by her office?
Barge in.
It was kind of the atmosphere where, you know, we drop in and out of each other's offices, like, all the time. And so, like, that's why when doors started getting closed on me, when it was such an open environment, I was like, what is going
on? What's going on?
Right.
So I kind of just like, I think we had just finished the meeting, if I remember correctly, and it was just me and her. And I was just like, hey, can I ask you something really quick? I tried to keep it casual and just kind of, you know, chill. I didn't want to make it a big thing, you know?
Yeah, and then what happened? She was literally, like you said, used this as her opportunity to just, like, freak out.
Yeah, she just kind of unloaded on me about all the, like, things that she felt like I was doing incorrectly. And not only that, like, she then made it about who I was as a person and was like, you know, a lot of people in the office, like, feel this way about you. Like, so then it's like, oh my gosh, who can I trust here? Because it sounds like if she's telling me the truth, like a lot of people who I thought really liked me like think negative things of me, and I'm just like you know, it just made me question my whole office identity, I guess.
That's really disheartening.
I lost kind of all trust in her.
Disheartening. I've been there, and there's nothing worse than people, you know, if someone has a critique about your work, that's one thing, you can fix that, but it's like your character. I'm so sorry.
When nobody else has kind of shown this negative kind of feelings about me.
So basically, in some ways, I feel like this was like almost like when you're dating a guy and you kind of feel like he's being a little bit like strange or something has shifted. And then it's like this explosive conversation. But all of a sudden it's like out there that this great work environment was not what you thought. Right. What happened after that?
So it was towards the end of the run for the job, because I work within the entertainment business, and like, you know, shows come and go.
Right.
And so I kind of got a stiff upper lip and was just like, you know what? I'm just going to keep moving forward, kind of keep my head down and get through this, because, and just know like this isn't an environment, and this isn't like the certain part of this industry that I really want to be a part of anymore. And it was definitely a huge learning opportunity for me to, unfortunately, not, you know, fully trust people.
Right.
Because not everybody really is there, to raise you up. A lot of people want to keep you down because they want to stay above you. It's just unfortunate, but at the same time, a lesson learned. And, you know, I have yet to work with that person again, and I'm completely fine with that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Good riddance. Yeah. You had another male boss who was a mentor that was especially hard on you in front of coworkers. You know, do you think in your industry, tell us about that. And like, do you think that's just kind of common, almost that like hazing mentality in the entertainment industry?
Yeah, I almost think it is. And it's almost like a thing that we're taught is you just got to suck it up. And they always say pay your dues.
Right.
Yes. You have to pay your dues to move up. And so obviously in, you know, being a young woman who is very hungry and just really wanted to have opportunities and to move up, you just kind of let people kind of treat you that way because you think that's what it's supposed to be. And, so I had a male mentor who, you know, was really kind of a older brother figure to me, which was great. And so I was like, as soon as he asked me to come work with him after kind of the other incident happened, I was like, oh my God, great. This is a safe place. This is somebody who I know will protect me.
Sure.
And, you know, look out for me. And, you know, and there's a couple other women that worked under him with me and some gentlemen too. And at first it was fine, but then it just kind of started becoming when he would talk to other people, it was like in a fun, friendly way. But when he would talk to me, it was almost like in like a servant way of like not saying, you know, like just, Keaton, I need this now. Oh, like, I need this now. I need this now, if you know what I mean.
So he was like buddy, like broing it up with everybody else. And then with you, it was almost like, do this, do that.
Right.
Exactly. So and then it started happening like over, like around other people to a point where a couple like upper or higher ups came up to me who were at the same level as him and were just like, are you okay? Like, you know, that's not okay for you for him to be talking
that's
to you.
That's when you know
like
it's
that.
A problem when like, other right, people when notice. Other people,
yeah, that's a really good point.
Yeah. Yeah. So at that point, I was just like, okay. But I was still so scared to bring it up to him because I just feel like, well, at the time I felt like it was a lot harder for me to talk to men in the workspace than women. Like I felt like women, they're my sisters, you know, they, you know, pro women, we're all looking out for each other.
Sure.
But men, especially this guy was much older than me, it was a lot more daunting. So I never said anything to him. I just again was like, you know, it a lesson learned and this is not somebody I want to be working with moving forward. You know, you pick and choose, I feel like, as you go through your career of, okay, I love this type of environment.
Right.
These are good people.
Right.
And then, you know, this isn't my type of environment. So you kind of learn what you don't like so you can continue to follow what you like to be happy in your job, in your career.
Well, Kylie, I have to hand it to you. It feels like even though you've definitely had some bosses that it felt like really turned on you in various ways, I feel like you're like keeping your head high and you're all like, here's what I've learned from this experience.
Exactly. Now, that's the most important part. If you can take a lesson away from it and like better yourself and then take that away, then that's perfect.
Yeah.
I think you're handling it really well.
Good for you, girl.
I mean, not to say I didn't have days where I went home crying.
Of course, we all have.
What's going on? What am I doing wrong? But I guess in retrospect, I have to look back on it and think of it in a positive way. Because now I know that's not what I want and that's not how I should be treated.
Exactly.
And I can share that with other people.
And now you're stronger for it.
Yeah, exactly. And it also teaches you a lesson as I've grown in my career, too, because I want to make sure anybody who might see me as a mentor doesn't feel like that. Or if they do feel like that, be like, oh, my gosh,
exactly.
You know, what can I do to change or get out of that situation?
So it'll make you a better leader.
For sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Kylie,
absolutely.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You so much.
Yeah, thank you for sharing all of your terrible, like, hard learned lessons.
You go,
us.
Girl.
You go, girl. Exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah, talk to you again
thank
soon.
Thank you guys
soon.
So much.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I wanted to share with you all today a new product that has really helped me lately with reducing the appearance of a scar on my skin. The number one doctor and pharmacist recommended brand, Mederma. Mederma Advanced Scar Gel is the only one-time-per-day scar care product that is clinically shown to reduce the appearance of scars, making the product cost-effective and convenient. Other scar care products might appear cost-effective at first, but they must be applied multiple times per day, which basically defeats the purpose of saving money and time. Plus, their new Mederma Quick Dry Oil is a brand new formulation on the market, and it helps improve the appearance of skin, scars, and stretch marks. It is multi-purpose. It serves several functions, as you can use it for scars and stretch marks, as well as keeping your skin hydrated. It's great to use on skin imperfections, but you can also use it daily as part of your skincare routine, which I do every morning. So go grab Mederma today. You can find it in the first aid aisle of many major retailers. Just because I love these products so much, I'll say them again. That is Mederma Advanced Scar Gel and their awesome new product, Mederma Quick Dry Oil. Grab Mederma from the first aid aisle today. Here on the line to help us and our previous callers resolve work drama the right way is our expert career coach, Gabby Bill. She earned her MBA from Harvard Business School, no big deal, and worked for nearly a decade in the corporate world at the Walt Disney Company and Capital One before becoming a career advisor at SoFi. She's also the spokesperson for SoFi's Raise Week, meant to empower young professionals to know their value in the workplace. Welcome, Gabby. Hi, Gabby.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Where are you calling in from?
I live in downtown Philadelphia.
Oh, Philly. Okay. So much good food down there.
I know. Oh my gosh, I love it. Not in New York either.
Right. Exactly. So Gabby, we are talking all about work drama. We're going to fill you in a little later on some of the crazy situations we heard from our callers earlier in the episode. But just to start with, what is the biggest complaint you hear from clients regarding work drama?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think work drama is somewhat inevitable because work is really just a microcosm of real life. So I think a lot of the same characters that show up in life drama show up in work drama. So the gossip and the victim and the person who always thinks negative or the narcissist.
Right.
So I hear a lot about gossip and backstabbing and competition and just difficult relationships that people have with bosses, with colleagues, whomever it might be. So those are the big things that really come up.
So basically, point number one, drama and gossip is unavoidable in the workplace.
Okay, noted.
So I think one of the most difficult situations in any workplace is when you have drama specifically with your boss, because you can feel really stuck. And some of the girls that we were talking to earlier were having problems with bosses who are psycho for a variety of different reasons. What advice do you give to people who have a boss who is really intense or otherwise difficult to work with?
Yeah. So first of all, I want to say that from my personal experience, I know just how important it is to have a great boss and have somebody that has your back and is really going to be your champion.
Yep.
So I think, first of all, there's an exercise here in looking internally at yourself and the things that you value in the workplace and really evaluating what's going on and how this situation with your boss affects you, not just today, but also how it might affect you in a year or 2 years. If you want a promotion or if you want to get a raise, how is that relationship going to potentially be an obstacle for you?
Right.
Specifically, though, in the short term, I think the biggest challenge that I see people having is having courageous conversations with someone that is an authority figure. But if you approach it from a place of honesty and being genuine and authentic with who you are and address the behavior in a really mature way, usually that has a positive result. When we don't address it in a mature way and we either try to control the situation or we just ignore it and are passive aggressive, that's when things have a tendency to fester.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I want to actually like drill into that and ask you a specific, like, I think one sort of common, like, generic-y thing we hear is like, my boss is really critical of me and basically never gives me any, like, it's only the negative. But like, how do you as an employee like address that? I mean, you can't be like, boss, you're mean to me. Yeah. But I think a lot of women feel that way.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you certainly don't want to come in and cry and whine about it, but
which is exactly what
totally
I would do.
Fair.
Same thing.
I think it's fair though to say, you know, positive reinforcement is really effective for me. And if there's something that I'm doing really well, to have you call it out is going to make me feel great and is going to help me do even better work the next time. It's even okay for you to put together your own list and say, here are the things that I think I do really well. Can you give me some feedback on this list? Would you agree?
Yeah.
The other thing, though, is you can also seek out feedback from other people at the office. So if you're specific direct manager isn't giving you what you need, can you create a mentorship relationship with someone that can? Or is there another manager on the team that is able to recognize these things more clearly and help point them out to you? So there are other options on the table.
Great.
And so one of our callers earlier was talking about basically like having a really insane coworker who was basically gaslighting their boss. What she would do, I just want to tell you this because it's so crazy.
It's so crazy.
What she would do is that her coworker, there was a plant in the office, and every day the coworker would move the plant to a slightly different location. And the boss would be like, wasn't that over there? And she'd be like, no, it's always been there.
That's crazy.
Which I actually think is like totally psychotic. But the point is, you know, I know nothing about anything, but we were basically saying to Kate earlier, that was her name that called in, we were like, Kate, you got to get out of there.
You work with a sociopath.
Yeah. And so like basically I'm like giving unsolicited advice to people to quit their jobs, which is probably, Kate, don't listen to me. But my question for you, Gabby, is there a point where, like, how do you recognize on some level, we all deal with crazy bosses and crazy coworkers. What is the line between suck it up and deal with it or try to make it better and deal with it? And like, you got to get out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I don't think there's like a silver bullet, black and white answer to that question, because a lot of it depends on you and who you are as an individual, what matters to you in the workplace, and what sort of effect this behavior is having on you, not only at work, but also outside of work. If you're at the point where you're unproductive in the workplace because you can't focus, or somebody's making you feel terrible and you have to be running to the bathroom to cry every hour, that's probably a bad sign.
It's not good.
But I think you have to, first of all, if you can avoid working with someone that's making your life miserable, removing yourself from the situation is always an option. But you also have to think about the other options available to you. Can you work on another team where you don't have to encounter this person? Can you move to a completely different office? Like, how big is your company? And at some point, it might be the only option is to find yourself another position, but really only you can make that decision.
Totally.
And so how do you also, do you have any advice around having the hard conversation with yourself about whether or not you are the problem? Because we all think that we have crazy bosses.
That.
Yeah, but it's like maybe I'm the crazy one.
How do you know when you're the problem?
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of that comes from patterns. So if you notice that the same thing is happening over and over again, then that might be an indicator that you should stop and take a look at yourself and really examine what the situation is and see if it could be something you're contributing. And asking for feedback is great. You do have to recognize, like, take feedback with a grain of salt. Sometimes the feedback you receive is actually more about the person giving you the feedback than it is about yourself. But sometimes it also is valid. And then you have the choice to make about whether or not you want to change your behavior.
Right.
Yeah. Another sort of common thing that I feel like we hear, especially from like our young Cosmo girls, is that feeling, and I think this is especially true in today's climate where many people have bosses who are maybe their age or even younger, that sort of feeling of like, I'm doing all the work and I'm the one that knows everything and my boss doesn't know anything. Right. I feel like we hear versions of that. What sort of would you say? I mean, on one hand, it's like, first of all, that's like probably not totally true.
Right. Relax.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what would you say to somebody that feels like they have a boss where really like they're the one that is sort of, I don't know, contributing all the ideas or whatever, and their boss is sort of, I don't know. Yeah. Let me simplify my question. What if you have a boss where you don't really feel like your boss is actually teaching you anything?
Yeah. Well, gosh, I have like three different answers to this question.
Perfect. We need them.
I think the first one, and you kind of hinted at it, is this like iceberg concept, right? What we're seeing about our boss is only the tip of the iceberg and what's visible on the surface. We don't really know what other conversations are happening and what's taking place when we're not in direct contact with our boss. So making assumptions about what our boss is or is not contributing really isn't giving them the benefit of the doubt or isn't being fair to them. So I would avoid at all costs jumping to those kinds of conclusions. The only thing it's going to do is make you feel worse about yourself, and that's not going to really be that productive. But I would say if you have a boss that you don't think is valuing you or isn't helping you to grow, you do have the opportunity to shape that situation. So we talked a little bit about, you mentioned Raise Week at the very beginning, and the whole concept of Raise Week is understanding your value and understanding what's important to you and then learning how to go out and communicate that and claim that value. So mm-hmm. if you have a skill that you're lacking that, you know, getting under in your tool belt would help you get promoted, how can you then come up with a compelling argument and throw it to your manager to say, I would like to get this skill set, I'd like to take the certification class, or I'd like to get trained in this area, and in exchange, here's what I'm going to deliver to the company. So it's always a conversation about an exchange. You're asking for something in return for giving something.
I was just going to jump in to say, I think that's really smart advice too, because we often hear in any conversation around, you know, asking for a raise to really highlight the ways you've contributed to the company. But I also like this proactive advice about saying, like, how can you lean into your job right. and sort of use your job and use your situation to get more skills? Right. Like, take that class.
How can you contribute? For the bottom. I feel like that's what companies want anyway.
Yeah.
We always think about salary when we think about negotiation. We always think about that dollar. But there is so much more that you can negotiate and so many more things that can contribute value to you. So really stepping outside of that mindset that it's all about the number can open tremendous possibilities. And that's a great rebuttal too. If a company comes back and says, listen, it's just not in the budget to give you a raise this year. Okay, mm-hmm. well, can I work from home one day a week? Can I have an extra couple days of vacation? Like, what else is important to you that you can negotiate?
That's smart.
That's great advice.
Yeah, it is.
And I do want to sort of ask you another question about that money situation, because we haven't mm-hmm. really talked about that yet on the episode until now, but it is raise week after all. And money can lead to drama in real life and especially in the office. What is the sort of final line in your expert opinion on discussing your salary with coworkers? Because you hear conflicting advice about this.
You do.
Yeah. And I don't think there, again, is like a one specific answer. I do think I encourage people to be open when talking about money with their coworkers, with their friends, because I think when we all hide how much we're making, the only people we're hurting are ourselves. So when we go into a negotiation or we're trying to get a new job, we're not equipping each other with the information we need to have good negotiations and to claim our value. So the more we can take the discomfort out of this concept of talking about money, the more we're actually empowering ourselves to claim more of our value. Mm. If you feel uncomfortable having a really specific conversation about the number, you can also talk about it in a range and give somebody a $10,000 range, but that still can kind of help you zero in on how much money, you know, you should be making. I had a client who found out that she was making about $20,000 less than two of her coworkers.
Oh, no.
And when she went to HR about it, this is so crazy. You talk about crazy stories. She found out the only reason she was making $20,000 less is because somebody put a typo in her offer.
Oh, my God. That's awful.
And she actually was supposed to be making the salary that the others were making. And so because she brought it to their attention, she was able to get that salary increase.
Did they reimburse her or they just gave her?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, I don't actually know the answer to that one. But I do know that she got the higher salary.
Well, that's good, at least.
Yeah.
So if she had never had that conversation, she never would have even known.
Right. Yeah, that does feel like that's like a great sort of story to remind you to feel empowered to have these conversations. And, you know, in most cases for most people, there probably wasn't a typo in your office, in your offer letter. But the point stands that it's up to you to advocate for yourself.
Yeah, I do want to add one more quick thing in there. One of my favorite quotes is, comparison is the thief of joy. And I want to throw this in there specifically because of this last example. What I don't want people to do is walk around the entire time comparing themselves to their friends and feeling undervalued because of what their friends make. Mm. Because you don't know, again, the full situation, the education, you know, what the company values and pays for. So when you're trying to think about what you want from a salary standpoint, always look internally to yourself and focus on what you're bringing to the table, what your areas of expertise are, the places where you're adding unique value, and assign numbers to it based on that versus always looking externally and making your decisions based on other people.
That's so smart.
That's
I feel like we're constantly comparing ourselves to each other without realizing there are other specifics that are involved.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. So many things involved. And I also think, you know, I feel like one of the sort of, like, I hate whenever, like, from time to time I overhear a coworker saying something like, what does that person even do? What is even her job?
Been there.
Yeah. Like, I think that's, you were there basically on So Cosmo.
Right. Been there.
But I think that's a terrible thing to say, because the truth is, you actually, unless you are doing someone's job, you don't know what they're doing all day long and what
their
responsibilities
manager.
Are on their plate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So,
that's my pet peeve.
So anyway, I took that on a tangent just to make that point myself. But Gabby, final question for you. in a situation, I like one final thing that I want to ask you about is basically HR. You know, I think there has been some interesting, you know, I think there's been a little bit of debate on how helpful, I don't want to say how helpful HR is. And also, I should say, disclaimer, I love our HR team at Hearst.
They're very good.
They're very good. But, you know, basically, is HR on your side or not?
Or not.
Like, is HR a safe space when you're having issues with a boss or when you feel like you're not being compensated fairly? Or is it kind of worth remembering that they are there to sort of do a job for the company?
I think every company is probably going to be a little bit different, but generally speaking, I think it's up to you to know your company well enough and make the decision about what the right channel is for your concern. If you are having a really serious issue, like an issue of sexual harassment, then 100% HR is the way to go for something like that, because they absolutely will be on your side and be there to support you and make sure that the situation is taken care of and stops. If it's just, you know, you have to be careful. Where's the line between being that person that's constantly whining and complaining and being the person that has legitimate concerns to raise? I think more often than not, having these courageous conversations with the people you work with on a day-to-day basis is more likely to be effective, whether that is your boss or your boss's boss or other people on your team. But certainly if you have used all of the resources at your fingertips and change still isn't happening, then HR is somebody that you can go to. Ultimately, you may be in a situation where the only way out of the negativity you're facing is to find another position. But I would say exercise, you know, the options that are at your disposal before you jump to that conclusion.
That's
great advice.
It is.
And I've also, I was told this advice recently by a boss that I really respected my job when I'd sent a kind of snippy email that I later felt really bad about. Gabby, this was before you got on the phone, but I've basically been telling Deandra all of my own work drama confessions, which is probably not a great idea. But this advice that I got from my boss, she was like, you don't have to send every email that you write. And I was like, that's a good point.
That is a good point.
And especially our like smartphone culture where you're like on the subway home and you're like catching up and jotting off replies. I think it's good. And, you know, that's the same thing with, you know, raising an issue to a supervisor or to HR. Like sometimes there are things that are frustrating, but not everything needs to, you got to use your judgment.
You got to edit.
Well, exactly.
And I'll give you an example from my personal life because I think it relates in this scenario. When I had a really bad breakup with my boyfriend, I had really strong urges to send him these really long, detailed emails. And obviously, I knew that was not the right direction to go in. But what I did was I wrote them and I sent them to my best friend. And this way, I was getting my feelings out. I was still writing it to him. I was sending it to someone, but I wasn't actually engaging with him. And then she wrote me back and she would like respond and give me feedback to all
that's
the things
so
they
nice.
Had shared.
So that's a good friend.
Do that if you have a trusted coworker in your office who you are really good friends with. Like maybe you can set up that kind of a situation where you can shoot it off to them and they can cool you down and they can coach you out of the situation and help you reframe that in a way that would be productive.
Just make sure you're sending it to the right person.
That was one of my questions earlier. Exactly.
Double check.
Well, Gabby, thank you so much.
Thank you, Gabby.
So glad to have your wisdom and your professional POV on this. You're a much better person to give advice about
than
whether
we
or
are.
Not someone should quit their job than I am. We're just hot messes over here. But thank you, Gabby.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Deandra, I have just been dropping like life truth bombs and work confessions left and right.
And I love it.
I love
it.
I
mean, feel comfortable.
Yeah, I know. Like too comfortable. Should I be listening
well,
to taking my own advice?
Well, you already know all my stuff because it's broadcast on television.
That's true.
So
I'm actually
turn.
Like on the grand scale of being comfortable airing my dirty laundry, like basically a 5 compared to you. But you're the master. What do you feel like you learned from today's episode of Work Drama on the Cosmopolitan.com Happy Hour podcast?
I feel I'm happy to know that I'm not the only one.
You're not the only one.
I
yeah.
feel like you know, when you're in a situation, it can feel so isolating and you feel like you're literally in it by yourself. You don't know who to turn to. Luckily, I have people who I can turn to, but a lot of people don't. And so it's very isolating. So I guess
yeah. It's good to know these are universal problems.
It's universal problems. And there are solutions.
And don't you also, I love that you went to solutions. I'm still thinking about the plant story. I'm basically like, if something crazy is happening in my workplace, maybe someone is actually, maybe I'm the victim.
Maybe I'm the victim. Yeah. I know. I try not to play the victim card.
I know,
I
but
really,
like
really
sometimes.
Do. But sometimes you never know. What if you like you thought you were crazy and really it's just someone moving the plant?
Right. Around. Really? You have a psycho coworker. Great. We've learned so much today. Well, Deandra, where is is the best place for everyone to follow you and get more inside peeks at the less dramatic side of your work life?
Oh, inside peeks, definitely Instagram at Deandra Barnwell.
At Deandra Barnwell.
Yes, and, for sure.
And as always, you guys can follow me at Elisa Benson on Insta and Twitter. Yep, all my and wherever, platforms. All the platforms, all the platforms. And thank you guys all so much for listening. If there's something you want to see us talk about next week on the Cosmo Happy Hour podcast, just tweet at me and let me know. And as always, please share and like and comment and do all those things that you do with the podcast.
Thanks, guys. And thanks, Elisa.
Thanks, Deandra. So great to have you. Let's do it again.
Obviously.
All right. See you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.